We come because, Lord, we are weary. We are concerned. Many of us are fearful. On this National Day of Prayer, Lord God, we encourage everyone to pray like you've never prayed before. To pray that a merciful God will hear from heaven. So, Lord God, as we come to bring forth your word, we ask you to let your word go forth and bring hope and bring encouragement to those who are watching and listening, to those who are here. Bring hope and encouragement to me, to all of us, because we need your word. Speak now, Lord God, for we are listening. We're listening more attentively than we have ever listened before, because our nation is in trouble. Lord God, speak. Speak and let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge. You are our Savior. You are our Redeemer. You are our Lord, Lord God. You are the rock of our salvation. Speak now, Lord God. Speak a word of hope and a word of love. Speak a word of comfort, God, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So, friends, my sermon title today is Put Your Hand into the Hand of God.
Amen.
Put your hand into the hand of God. And you've heard the scriptures read from Psalm 91 and then the gospel reading from John 4, 5 to 15. I read these stats that I'd like to share with you. Stats about how disasters affect faith. Stats about how disasters affect faith. On the heels of the devastating tornadoes that struck Oklahoma in May 2013, Lifeway Research completed a survey about suffering and faith in God. Here's how people responded when asked, how do they feel about God when suffering occurs that seems unfair? 33% said, I trust God more. 25% said, I am confused about God. 16%, I don't think about God in these circumstances. 11%, I wonder if God cares. 8%, I am angry or resentful at God. 7%, I doubt God exists. Nearly 60% of the survey respondents said that at the very least, their interest in God increases when a natural disaster occurs. So I'm hoping and praying that we are in the 60%.
Amen.
But wherever you fall in this statistics, I am praying that the Lord will draw you closer today on this National Day of Prayer. Whatever number you are at, whatever percentage you were, whether you are doubting, whether you are angry, whether you're wondering if God cares, I hope today when we are, where many of us are self-quarantining and many of us are staying home and doing social distancing because of the fear of the coronavirus, we will then spend the time to know a little bit more about God. Amen. So today I'd like to look at Psalm 91. Psalm 91 is said, it is an assurance of God's protection. The Jewish writings, the Midrash, called the Jewish writings, states that Psalm 91 was composed by Moses on the day he completed the building of the tabernacle in the desert. The verses describes Moses' own experience entering the tabernacle and being enveloped by the divine cloud of God. That is that as Moses entered the tabernacle, the cloud of God came about. And he was enveloped, he was, you know, covered, so to speak. It is said that Moses composed this psalm while ascending into the cloud, hovering over Mount Sinai, at which time he recited these words as protection from angels of destruction. So he recited the words as protection over destruction. Psalm 91 is one of the most eloquent statements of the comprehensive scope of the Lord's effective protection of the true believer amidst the perils of life's journey. In Jewish thought, Psalm 91 conveys the themes of God's protection and rescue from danger. Modern day Christians see the psalm as a source of comfort and protection even in times of suffering. As such, this exquisite psalm has been a constant source of comfort for countless believers as they cope with anxieties in their lives.
Amen.
Thus, Psalm 91 is said to be the glowing testimony to the security of those who trust God. It is said that it is also said in other writings that it might have probably been written by temple personnel, like a priest or a Levite, as a word of assurance to godly worshipers. So we are clear that Psalm 91 was truly written by godly people, those who believed in God's protection. And it begins. I know many people read Psalm 91. Lots of non-believers read Psalm 91. Believers certainly do. And we take it lightly. We think it's just there for our use. All the words in the scriptures are there for our use. But the meaning, what it means to us, is very important. The psalmist begins, "You who live or dwell," based on the interpretation, in the shelter of the Most High, who abide in the shadow of the Almighty. That means you have to what? You have to live, right? You have to be in relationship. You have to dwell, right? It means that we are the godly find safety under the protective wings of the Lord. Right? It begins, who abide in the shadow of the Almighty. To abide in the shadow of the Almighty is to have relationship with God.
Amen.
Right? So those of us who believe, we can pray this psalm because what? We abide in the shadow of the Almighty. We are dwelling in His presence.
Amen.
It says, "Will say of the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." When you read the psalm, you truly have to be trusting in God.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a poem just to recite.
Mm-hmm.
It is something that you must believe in. He says, "For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler." And that is a metaphor for danger. He'll deliver you from the snare of the fowler means from danger. He'll deliver you. He probably won't, the danger may not stop, but he will deliver us.
Amen.
And from the deadly pestilence, like, of course, the coronavirus. We are praying, aren't we?
Amen.
We are praying this psalm because we who believe, we are praying for those who don't believe. And we are praying for ourselves who do believe.
Amen.
That God will deliver us from the coronavirus.
Amen.
He will cover you with his pinions or feathers, which is a protection. You know, like a bird covers the baby with his feathers. That's what the pinions are. It's the feathers, isn't it? Right? And he'll cover us with his feathers. Under his wings, we'll take refuge. God, we're calling God to cover us.
Amen.
Under his feathers. Look at that image this morning. Look at that image that God will protect godly people, those who believe in God, under his feathers this morning. Oh, glory to God, right?
Amen.
He says, under his wings you will find refuge. Under his very wings we will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a buckler. That means his faithfulness, when it's a shield, it's a protection. You know, in the army, in war, they use the shield to protect. So God's faithfulness, the fact that he is faithful to us, is a shield. It's a shield. I mean, I don't have all day to break this psalm down. I wish I could do it word by word, but it is a shield. It is a protection for us. We believe that God's shield, no matter what comes, will protect us today. Psalm 91. He says, you will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, or the pestilence that stalks in darkness, or the destruction that wastes at noonday. That means whatever time of day it is, God is going to show up for us.
Amen.
He'll show up in the morning. He'll show up at noonday. He'll show up at midday. We will not fear. We will not fear because we're holding on to his unchanging hand. Whatever time of day, noonday, he says, you don't fear the terror of night or the arrow that comes to you at day, the evil things that come to you at day by day, or that stalks you in the darkness, or that waste at noonday. Whatever time of day, God will protect us. And then he goes on, he says, 1,000 will fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand. That things will happen to non-believers or other folks, but it will not come near you, because you will only look with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. We pray, God, that no wicked will be punished, that God, who is merciful, will grant mercy.
Amen.
But for the believers, he said, because you have made the Lord your refuge, the Most High your dwelling place.
Amen.
Because we have made God our refuge, our dwelling place, our refuge, that means where we go for comfort, where we go for protection. He's our refuge, the one who takes care of us. No evil will befall us, and no scourge will come near our houses, our tents. And what he's going to do, he's going to command his angels. The scripture says he will command his angels concerning you, concerning each believer. He'll command his angels to guard us in all our ways. On their very hands they'll bear us up. Oh, God has commanded his angels today. He has commanded his angels to take care of us so that you will not dash your foot against a stone. One of us, we could or could not get the coronavirus. We don't know. Whatever that plague comes, we don't know. But God will take care of us. God will command his very angels.
Amen.
To protect us. He says, we will tread on the lion and the adder and the young lion and the serpent. You will trample on the foot. He's not mighty. God says, I will take care of you. I'm going to make a way out of no way in the midst of this situation for those who believe in me.
All glory to God.
That's what we're hoping on today. And we're praying for our nation today. We are praying, not because we are so good, but because God is good.
Amen.
Not because we are so wonderful, but because God is better than good. And so we are trusting in him, and he's a merciful God. We are praying for mercy today. And here are the promises of God. Those who love me, first promise, I will deliver.
Yeah.
Number one, I will protect. Mm-hmm. Number two, those who knows my name, when they call to me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue them and honor them. So what he's going to do, I will deliver, I will protect, I will answer them, I will be with them in trouble, and I will rescue them. Those are the promises at the end. You see, God is going to deliver us, whatever we are going through. He will protect his children. He will answer when we call on him. Jeremiah says, call on me and I'll answer. Jesus, God says, call on me and answer, and I'll show you new and mighty things that you do not know. I am calling on God with all my heart that he'll answer. I tell you, this virus that is in this land has got me to my knees more than it's ever done before, and I was already on my knees. He says, with long life I'll satisfy them and show them my salvation.
Amen.
You see, Christians should not use Psalm 91 as a magical guarantee against the various deadly threats that they encounter on life's journey. Instead, the security that Psalm 91 promises should be accepted in a humble trust. Yes. We should humbly trust God and thank God for the opportunity to call on his name. And so, friends, I just briefly want to say that we who believe in God can call on him. But those who don't believe in God can still call on him. And this time in our history and in our nation is a time that maybe you'll have to call on him or begin to believe in him. And I'm going to just briefly talk about the woman at the well. She was a woman who showed up at the well. Jesus had stopped there. He stopped at the well for water. He stopped there. We know that story well. He stopped there for water because he had been tired, the scripture said. He had been traveling and he had been tired. And he stopped in a Samaritan city. Jesus will come and see about you whether you are a Christian or not. Because this woman was a Samaritan woman. Right? And so I am preaching to believers and non-believers now. He stopped at the well and he wanted water. And a Samaritan woman came to draw water. And Jesus said to her, give me a drink. Jesus will cross boundaries. In that text, there's so many boundary crossing that Jesus, a rabbi, a Jewish rabbi, is speaking to a mere woman who's a Samaritan, an outcast. Yet he knew that she needed to hear Jesus. That the same Psalm 91 is for her, was for her, and is for me. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Right? A Samaritan woman who came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, give me a drink. And his disciples had gone to another city, and the Samaritan woman said to him, how is it that you, a Jew? She said, look at me. I am nothing. How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. She felt like nothing. But Jesus said, if you knew the gift of God, and who is it that is saying it to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water.
Amen.
Does anybody need living water today? And here's what this woman says that we could learn from this woman today. Does any of us need living water? We need living water because we're running scared. We're running into the supermarket and we're buying all the toilet papers. We're buying all the paper towels. We're buying everything. We're buying all the cleaning stuff. We don't know why, but we're buying them. Right? Because we're scared. We need living water. If we already accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we still need living water.
Amen.
I need more living water today.
Amen.
I need more living water to go through the next few months. We need living water.
Yes,
that comes
Pastor.
From Jesus. Here's what she says. And the woman said to him, sir, you have no bucket and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestors, Jacob, who gave us the well, and with his sons and his flocks, and when his sons and his flocks drank from it? Yes, Jesus is greater than all things.
Amen.
Friends, I've come to tell you as a Christian believer, he's greater than all things. He could heal your body. He could save your soul. And here's what Jesus is going to say. Jesus said to everyone who drinks of this water will never be thirsty again.
Hallelujah.
We will never be thirsty again. Glory to God. But those who drink of the water that everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. Let me change. Who drinks of the physical water coming from a well will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I give them will never be thirsty.
Amen.
Somebody needs to hear that if you're lonely today. If you're in your house and you're scared. How you could call on his name. And she said, the water I will give you will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life.
Amen.
That means no matter what happens to us now, we have eternal life with Jesus. And he'll walk with us and he'll talk with us. Oh, we have got the blessed assurance. And the woman said, she said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water. Give me this water, this living water." And this living water is Jesus Christ. He's the one. He's our Savior and Redeemer. We could trust in him. So friends, as I close, there's a song I was due today. Mother Teresa said a simple thing. You will never know that Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you've got.
Amen.
You will never know that Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you've got. And that's what we have got today is Jesus, our Savior. The song says, "Precious Lord, take my hand. Lead me on and let me stand. I am tired and I am weak and I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on through the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home." Is somebody tired at home?
Amen.
Is somebody weary at home today who's watching? Is somebody need a touch from Jesus? I'm encouraging you today to accept him as your Lord and Savior. And if you are a believer, I'm encouraging you to go on your knees and call on his name. You see, there's a simple prayer that says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
Amen.
Jesus is willing and able to welcome everybody into his kingdom. And so if you're running scared from this virus, as many of us are, if you think that you may not live to see tomorrow because you're worried, I encourage you this day to call on Jesus. He'll comfort you. He'll walk with you. He'll love you. He already loves you. And he will give you the strength to go through these trying times. I give you Jesus, Savior of the whole world. He loves everyone. Samaritan woman. He doesn't care who you had believed in, where you came from, what you look like, what your economic status is. Nothing matters. Wherever you are today, know that Jesus opened his arms wide and says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest."
Amen.
"Take my yoke," Jesus says, "upon you and learn from me. For his yoke is easy and his burden is light." He already has taken the burden. And if you call on him, he'll give you rest. He says, "My peace I give you, not as the world gives you." He says, "I've overcome the world." So he'll give you that peace that surpasses all understanding this day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.